Nan, Hammonds, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, excused, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 54 ayes, 6 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 2, report to Senate File 21. Members of the House, we're waiting on a little bit of paperwork to go between houses. We've heard from the poet laureate. Now we're going to hear from the poet lariat. Poet Rounds.
You're too kind. Thank you. I suppose many of you might know that a couple of weeks ago I had a bit of a collision with a sidewalk out there. And, of course, that gave birth to another few lines. Legislators have been blamed and frequently named as a source of lots of material. But there are times when in his rhymes a writer must be quite ethereal. With a clean shirt, I started for work. In the garage, I parked my truck. Walking a quick step, I didn't expect ice on the sidewalk to change my luck. With considerable flair, both feet went in the air, and I landed like a beached whale. Those who saw it were awed by it, and I scored 4.3 on the Richter scale. Now, I just can't help myself sometimes, but I listen sitting out there, and I call this one heard words. Sitting out in the lobby, I practice my hobby, jotting down a word or two. I'm sometimes surprised what I hear inside and wonder if what I hear is true. Don't bark up that tree, for you can see I don't have a dog in that fight. Can't castrate a heifer, said one of our members. And the speaker said, I'll cut the jokes, all right. Many of our mates said, step up to the plate, a phrase frequently heard. I think we ought to take a swing at the piñata. I don't know to what he referred. Without reference to the farm, we heard the horses out of the barn, indicating we're never quite done. So we'll stay in our places and use hackneyed phrases and stay till the last dog's hung. Some things we hear are strange to the ear, like irregardless and other zingers. The only thing worse is this doggerel verse brought to you by this bringer. And that, of course, gets us back to bringer with apologies to Dr. Seuss. Bringer is a word frequently heard whose meaning is obscured and many think absurd. Now, sometimes in debate, we hear some orate and we watch them gesticulate as they articulate about one of their mates they call the bringer. When a measure has a bringer, it must be a zinger or another humdinger who's been rung through a ringer or a folk singer or a right winger or a left winger, but never a mud slinger. It must be a sponsor. It could be an author or a father or a daughter or a schemer or a dreamer with considerable demeanor. It could be an intervener or a gleaner or a schemer or perhaps a daydreamer. I always thought that bringer was something that you said when you had it in your head to take a little chance on a new romance. Ask a lady to a dance and you said that you would bring her. So what is Bringer? Is it a stinker or a clinker or a free thinker? We ask a libertarian, a sectarian, even a vegetarian, a librarian, and a grammarian, and some say it's a cancer or a dancer or a freelancer or an enhancer, but we still don't have an answer. you've noticed some peculiarities about Wyoming climate, and particularly in Cheyenne, and I thought I would just share this one right quick with you. It's about a meteorological phenomenon you may have experienced. It's called wind. I was riding fence when it started blowing, a natural occurrence here in Wyoming. The wind she blew, the dust she flew, and I couldn't see for a minute or two. My hat was pulled down to where it hurt my ears, the dust making my eyes fill with tears. The wind was a stiff one, blowing hard, you see. It blew the shade from under the tree. My horse turned her backside into the breeze. My chaps were flapping way out from my knees. I had to tie the tail down tight on my mount to keep the wind from blowing the bit out of her mouth. We quit fixing fence because it got worse. We went home backwards, my horse in reverse. When we got to the barn, me and the horse both numb from leaning into the wind, we walked out of plumb. A cousin from the east, well-groomed and respectable, stood in the house and witnessed this spectacle. Always blow like this, he asked, as I come in from the yard. Well, shucks, no, I reply. Sometimes it blows hard. And finally, I'll let you up with one last one here that you may have seen, but for the benefit of some of our newer members, we call it Ambush Alley. The lobby has to be renamed. Its use just ain't the same. It's no longer a place to come and loiter. Now folks come to reconnoiter. They come here to lie in wait, to catch all the representatives at the gate. They send in lots of notes, hoping to get them to change their votes. Constituents, lobbyists, and PACs have lots of questions and favors to ask. There's lots of special and individual needs. Vote for it or against it, please. All this goes on outside the door because they can't get in here on the floor. So we pack them in, and they shove and they push, and they lie in wait, ready to ambush. Representatives maneuver through the crowd, and folks holler their names out loud. Because our members must run through that gauntlet, Ambush Alley is what we'll call it. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, with your indulgence, could I have just one more moment, please?
One more moment.
Please be seated, folks. Mr. Speaker and members of the 59th, if you would indulge me for just a moment, I'd like to speak to you on behalf of the staff here at the House of Representatives. It's not often, now that's what you haven't heard, it's not often you get the recognition that we think you deserve. We know how hard you work, the long hours you put in here in the Capitol, because we're here with you much of that time. We don't work the long hours after each day's session that you do, and we can only imagine what you must endure to keep your constituents, lobbyists, and home folks happy when you're off the court, so to speak. You get here early and with a smile. When you hit that door, you're pleasant, you're affable, and you're courteous. Although the demands on your job are taxing, you're kind, gracious, and grateful. And you forgive all of our faults and shortcomings. Sometimes you disdain the questions, comments, and badgering from constituents, media, and lobbyists. But you go out there and you meet them with a smile and a handshake. You're the first to give a standing recognition to others and seldom get the same recognition for the hard work that you do in here. We on staff understand and appreciate how hard you work and the sacrifices you make. Sometimes we don't understand why you're so hard to find. You can't all be in the bathroom at the same time. But we appreciate your demeanor. You're kind, you're considerate, and we want you to know it's good to be appreciated. You are indeed, ladies and gentlemen, you smile, you say please, you say thank you. You are the epitome of the cowboy way, the Wyoming way, and we're proud to work for you as your staff. Now, please just sit there and enjoy the recognition while our staff gives you the hand that you deserve. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks to all of you. Have a good trip. Stay safe.
Thank you, Poet Laureat. We are now at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The reading clerk will read the first enrolled act, being Senate Enrolled Act Number 49.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 49, being original Senate File Number 12, an act relating to liquor licenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 49, being original Senate File Number 12. I have so signed. The next enrolled act will be Senate Enrolled Act Number 50.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 50, being original Senate File Number 47, an act relating to state institutions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 50, being original Senate File Number 47. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be Number 51.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 51, being original Senate File Number 62, an act relating to emergency medical technicians, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 51, being original Senate File Number 62. I have so signed. The next enrolled act will be Senate Enrolled Act Number 52.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 52, being original Senate File Number 19, an act relating to public health and safety, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 52, being original Senate File Number 19. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be Number 53.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 53, being original Senate File Number 40, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 53, being original Senate File Number 40. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be Number 54.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 54, being original Senate File 88, an act relating to sentence and imprisonment, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 54, being original Senate File Number 88. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be Number 55.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 55, being original Senate File Number 26, an act relating to business entities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 55, being original Senate File Number 26. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be Number 56.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 56, being original Senate File 22, an act relating to school capital construction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 56, being original Senate file number 22. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 57.
Senate Enrolled Act number 57, being original Senate file number 71, an act relating to Hathaway Scholarship Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 57, being original Senate file number 71. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 58.
Senate Enrolled Act number 58, being original Senate file number 18, an act relating to business entities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 58, being original Senate file number 18. I have so signed. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 310. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 27, County Nuisance Statement Authority. The Senate adopted abatement authority. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 311, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 65, Post-Conviction Relief Petitions, DNA Evidence. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We are at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 27. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I would move approval of Joint Conference Committee report number 1 to Senate File 27. The amount of text in front of you is a little bit deceiving because we really did just tweak the bill a little bit. The Senate had two main concerns with the bill as it came out of the House, and you'll recall that we amended the bill substantially on the floor to add some due process considerations for people whose properties are deemed to be nuisances. The two concerns from the Senate were, one, we had adjusted the penalty to be $100 per offense, and their question was, well, when does that begin to run? And their second issue was with the language that we included with for the exception for oil and gas and permitted industrial uses. The vast majority of the text that you see on pages 1 and 2 of the Joint Conference Committee report deals with that $100 a day penalty, and we had to rework the bill a little bit. And what we did is we provided for a final order. And essentially, if you do not answer, the order from the county commissioners becomes a final order. If you do answer and take it to the district court, then the district court's final decision is the final order, and that $100 per day penalty doesn't kick in until you begin violating the final order. And that's found on towards the bottom of page 2. So that's kind of how we fixed that issue. With respect to the second issue, if you look at the very bottom of the second page of the conference committee report onto the third page, we just tweaked the language a little bit. The main concern was there are some oil and gas exploration and production activities that aren't actually permitted. We had stated permitted activities, and this recognizes that, for example, pump jacks and some of those things that aren't permitted also would be not considered nuisances. So with that, I would move for adoption of the Joint Conference Committee report and ask that you vote yes.
Representative Philp.
Just a question, Mr. Speaker. Does the bill still contain the language about the Right to Farm and Ranch Act, that would still be permitted?
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the good chairman of the Appropriations Committee, yes, it does. It's still on line 18. Mr. Speaker, with all my criticism sometimes of these learned individuals, I do think that they have made this bill palatable, and I appreciate all of their work that they have done this year on those bills that that we've worked on. They are truly outstanding, even though sometimes it appears that a tweak turns into be a piddle. But I would urge the body to adopt this this particular conference committee report. This really works, and it will make, I hope, life much easier.
Further discussion. We're now voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report to Senate File 27. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt this report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger excused. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Childers excused. Kraft. Aye. Davison excused. Dirks. Aye. Dockstetter. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Esquivel F. excused. Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Excuse.
Gilmore excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Gorberg.
No.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Throne,
aye. Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 3 noes, 5 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to Senate File 27. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to Senate File 65. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for the adoption of the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 for Senate File 65. This is the post-conviction relief petition on DNA evidence. And you'll see there we adopted one and deleted one. I'll tell you what those are. The amendment that we adopted was the House Judiciary Standing Committee amendment, and that was the amendment that deleted out the Attorney General because there was some confusion as to which individual, either the District Attorney or the Attorney General, would file everything. The Senate understood that, so they agreed that that one could remain. The one we deleted out was the one that came on off the floor on second reading from the good representative from Albany County, and this is where he deleted out the section that dealt with the time periods. That there was a section in there, and this is what the Senate wanted back in, and we agreed to put it back in. There was a distinction between those convicted prior to the year 2000 and those convicted after the year 2000. On this side, we didn't think it was that big a deal. They thought it was a big deal. So we agreed to put that back in. So we would urge your aye vote.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, that was my amendment that they're taking back off, and I've had some very thoughtful and learned emails from, it's funny, you know, this internet thing, there, you don't think anybody's out there listening, and then you do something and you get emails from people you haven't heard from for years. And I am persuaded that this is the right thing to do, and I would urge your aye vote.
We're now voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to Senate File 65. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt this report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger excused. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Childers excused. Kraft. Aye. Davison excused. Dirks. Aye. Dockstetter. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Escobel F. excused. Escobel K. Aye. Gilmore excused. Gingery. Aye. Goggles. Aye. Hales. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Hammonds. Aye. Harshman. Aye. Harvey. Aye. Eichel. Aye. Illaway. Aye. Yagi. Aye. Jones. Aye. Jorgensen. Aye. Landon. Aye. Lockhart. Aye. Lubno. Aye. Madden. Aye. Martin. Aye. McComey. Aye. Mercer. Aye. Meyer. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Semlick, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Zwanitzer Dan, aye. Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Berger?
Aye.
Excused to aye. Escobel F?
Aye.
Excused to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to Senate File 65. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, I handed out this wonderful photograph here, a copy, and a total of 7 people responded with guesses, well, with dollars that went with the guesses. And surprisingly enough, the person in the photograph is not who I thought it was. And the guesses were Dave Friedenthal. There were about three guesses for that. Big Al Simpson, that was wrong. Hank Coe, Floyd Esquivel, and two guesses for Frank Philp. And you got the right family. On the Frank Philp guest, but he told me it was his brother John. So.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Philp.
Well, actually, it's my dad, John. And I was kind of surprised about how many people came up and they'd be looking and they'd shake their finger like this and they'd say, "Well, I can tell it's the ears." And then the next one to come, it's the eyes or the nose. But anyway, it is my dad, and I think it's taken about 1925.
Well, it's a great photo, Mr. Speaker, and rather than give Frank the money, we'll just return your dollars to him.
Oh, yeah. And, Mr. Speaker, I was going to declare a conflict on this.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I have in front of me 22 quotes, and I'd like to just share 4 of them with you. I think they all apply to what we're dealing with in government and process here. And the first one is from Will Rogers, and he says, "I don't make jokes. I watch government and report the facts." This one goes back to Voltaire in 1764, and he says, "In general, the art of government consists of taking as much money as possible from one party of citizens and giving it to another." The third that I think we all ought to think about is This is from Thomas Jefferson, and he says, a government that's big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have. And the last, in the words of one of the greater communicators, Ronald Reagan, is, a government is like an alimentary canal, a baby's alimentary canal, with a happy appetite at one end and no responsibility at the other. That said, Ronald Reagan used to have jelly bellies on his desk. I've got some on mine. If you would take a handful, then I won't have to eat them all myself. So help yourself to my jelly bellies.
If we could have the assemblance of Committee Number 14 on House-Grown Poets assemble. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm here to provide a sort of disappointing report from Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on House Bill 43. You may have read in our local paper this morning that we had an agreement, and last night we had an agreement, and this morning we didn't have an agreement anymore. Our friends on the other side were frankly unwilling to compromise on anything, and I apologize if that just broke a rule. But in any event, we've decided that we need to come back again next year and work on the issue again. So House Bill 43 has died. Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
For those of you who are looking to do other things next year, could you all come up to the front, please, so we can get some photos for the speaker scrapbook and some photos that we can take and get back to you? So that would be all of you that are thinking of new adventures and greater things. Please come up front if you don't mind.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been asked to do a bit of poetry for the group, and because I know that there's a lot of wonderful talent floating out around the floor, I've discovered I have a couple of colleagues who are also going to share that with me. The first piece, however, is for our illustrious chamber doorman and legislative poet Lariat. Maybe he'll step inside. There we go. All right. Our dear friend Keith knows it's not nice to bust your chops out on the ice. You crack your jaw, you mash your lips. We learn the worst. You're out of quips. We watch the door, we sulk, we drool, but a silent Keith, that's just too cruel. We didn't say, we didn't fuss, but we'll admit you worried us. So we're all glad for you to speak without a broken tongue in cheek.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Poems are in some ways kind of like your children. Some of them grow up and just sort of hang around the house, lay on the couch. And some of them go out in the world and send back checks. And this is one that has sent back a couple of pretty good checks. So, cattle, horses, sky, and grass, these are the things that sway and pass before our eyes and through our dreams in shiny, sparkly, golden gleams within our psyche that find and know the value of that special glow that only gleams for those who bleed their soul and heart in utter need into the mighty throbbing earth from which springs life and death and birth. These cattle, horses, grass, and sky dance and dance and never die. They circle through the realms of air and ground and empty spaces where a human being can join the song, can circle too and not go wrong amidst the natural pulsing forces of grass and sky and cows and horses. This chant of life cannot be heard. It must be felt. There is no word to sing that can express the true significance of how we wind through all these hoops of earth and mind and all these things that sway and pass. Lately, I've been writing a few political poems. This is called, it was after the interim meeting this summer. It's called Leaving Thermopolis. Entering politics is like driving into the Wind River Canyon from the north. Everything in you says something is not right here. All of your senses are telling you that this water is running uphill. Lots of water, flowing the wrong way. Your intellect knows this is not so. It is a physical impossibility for water to flow uphill. This is all an optical illusion, an accident of geology, civil engineering, but your guts tell you this ain't right. And you are old and wise enough to know that usually your guts are right. Well, this time, your guts are wrong. That water still flows downhill, just like it always has and always will. Then, just when you come to terms with that, you look behind you and see, this ain't even the same river. Back there, Bighorn. Here, the Wind. Same water, different river. What the heck? That's politics. Now, I'm going to turn this over to my colleague and friend from District Number 12, who's going to read you a poem, and then she's going to be followed by our colleague and friend from District Number 6.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry before that. The governor is ready to sign Senate File 29, Library Trust Fund, if anyone is interested in being present for the signing.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is what I get for mentioning at a cocktail party that I published a few poems. I decided when asked to do this, I would tie this in with something I wanted to say, and I hope he doesn't get away from me, but I want us to honor somebody on the floor. As a freshman, you go to your first committee meetings and you wonder about your chairman, and I happen to have a chairman as a freshman who's not going to be with us anymore, and who was an incredible chairman, a stellar man, a man who has served my county exceptionally well, and this poem is an ode to the men in my life, my father, all of my uncles. They were giant men, and I mean physically giant men. And this tribute that I want to give is also for a giant man, and I want us all to stand and thank the good representative from Laramie County.
Elvis has left the building, Mr. Speaker.
It's they live like kings. Like Zeus in his golden chariot, he travels over dirt roads. The dashboard covered in dust, seed corn caps, empty coffee cups, and old receipts. He passes by, a practiced eye surveying his kingdom. Air ripe with promise, heat heavy with anticipation. Fields of ripening corn bursting over each new horizon. Deep, deep green. A color and a smell. The sun steadily sinks as a slight, swirling, otherworldly coolness coils around his corn. The radiator pops and fizzes as he stands, sweaty cap pushed back. His red face, burned by the sun, holds no expression at all. He stands by his fields of corn. No point in getting attached. No place for pride. The seasons have taught him the strongest form of humility. At night, he sits in his kitchen. Silence gently ruffles the curtains floating on the evening breeze. The kitchen light makes a shaft of yellow on the deep, dark farmyard. The bellow of his new heifer breaks the silence, a long, low sound. His fork clatters on the plate as he gets up to check his stock. The screen door slams, and then silence regroups around him. There is no traffic here, no sirens or horns. No small apartment with the sound of his neighbor's music ringing in his ears. He lives like a king. No degrees hang on his walls, only old photographs, lovely ladies with pink cheeks and blue feather boas, men in top hats and suspenders dressed in their Sunday best. To the world outside, he is a farmer, uneducated, they think. A dying breed, not fit for the world of power, money, and progress. But he lives like a king. His castle his own, no man to call him a slave. His deadlines are set by gentle seasons. His time clock beats inside him. He answers to no man but those older and wiser, and they only watched with pride as the tradition was passed to another man made. He has no office but the open sky above him, no traffic but the sway of traveling heifers, no pressure but the early anxiety of a thunderstorm, threatening hail. That too has seasoned him. He no longer waits for the calming rain, but can sleep through the pings on his window seal. What will be, will be. He lives like a king, and men of higher degree think him obsolete. He thinks them crazy and cares not a whit for their lives of enslavement by degrees.
Representative Edwards.
Privilege of the floor.
You certainly may. I'd hate to tell you no.
Okay, for all of those of you who are suffering from hyperactivity attention deficit disorder like I am, I hope I can capture your attention here for about 4 minutes. I'll tell you a little story about this little ballad that I'm going to recite for you. About 25 years ago, when I was Air Wing Commander on the USS Kitty Hawk, that's a aircraft carrier, for those of you who are not familiar with that, we were headed toward Perth, Australia for a week import visit. And the captain of that ship was quite a fellow, a guy named Tudor Teague, who was one of these rebellious geniuses, if you will. The guy was incredibly smart. And he called me up to the bridge one day, and he says, "Now, look, we're going into Perth, Australia, and they had a poet laureate down there named Banjo Patterson. And this guy wrote a lot of good ballads and stuff, and, in fact, he's the author of Waltzing Matilda, and he wrote The Man from Snowy River. They made a movie out of that ballad. And he said, "We got to memorize some of these ballads, and when we get in port, we will not have to buy a single drink." And so we did that. We memorized these. And we would go into bars and we'd start spouting these off. And I'm telling you, for a week, we stayed pretty well up on the level of intoxication. So this is the G-Bung Polo Club, which was my ballad, written by Banjo Patterson. And it goes something like this. Now, I was up in somewhere up in the country in a land of rock and scrub. They had an institution called the G-Bung Polo Club. Now, they were long and wiry people from the rugged mountainside, and the horse has never been saddled that a G-Bung couldn't ride. But their style of playing polo was irregular and rash. There was mighty little science and a whole lot of dash. And they used to train their ponies wheeling cattle in the scrub. They were demons, these men from the G-Bung Polo Club. Now, it was somewhere down the country in a city smoking steam that they had a polo club called the Cuff and Collar Team. And they rode natty little ponies that were nice and smooth and sleek, for their cultivated owners only rode them once a week. And they set out up the country in the search of sport and fame, for they meant to teach those G-bungs how they ought to play the game. And they took their valets with them, ere their boots needed a rub, once they started operations with the G-Bung Polo Club. Now, my readers can quite imagine how the contest ebbed and flowed. When the G-Bung's boys got a-going, it was time to clear the road. And the game was so terrific, ere half the time was gone, a spectator's leg was broken just from merely looking on. And they waddied one another until the plain was strewn with dead. And the score was kept so even that neither got ahead. And the Cuff and Collar team, when he tumbled off to die, was the last surviving player, and the game was called a tie. But then the captain of the G-Bungs raised him slowly from the ground. And though his wounds were mostly mortal, he fiercely gazed around. There was no one to oppose him. All the rest were in a trance. So he scrambled on his pony for his last surviving chance, and he struck at a goal, and he missed it, and he tumbled off and died. Now, down by the old Campaspe River, where the breezes shake the grass, there's a little row of tombstones that the stockmen never pass, for they bear a crude inscription that says, "Stranger, drop a tear. The Cuff and Collar Team and the G-Bung Polo Club lie here." And when, on a dark and misty moonlight evening, when the dingoes howl around, a terrified observer rushes like blazes to the pub. You know he's been haunted by the specter of the G-Bung Polo Club.
Well, Representative Edwards, the comics and entertainment section of the local Opinionette gives us all a D+, but I'll tell you the talent is given an A.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I would just like to thank the Courtesy Committee for the wonderful bookends that were given to leadership. Those are really great, and I'll proudly use those in my office. They're very nice, and just wanted to thank you all publicly. Thanks.
Not being one to do well with goodbyes either, I'd like to thank you all very much for your kindnesses yesterday, and on behalf of my wife, thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Samuelson.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a great body, and I've just had over the last 10 years just some wonderful thoughts, and hearing these freshmen and these brilliant thoughts they come up with. I used to think that when we're gone, that life will end as we know it, and then you start seeing these great minds that are out there, and there's some new ones coming up, and it lets old guys like us go. But when I hear that poem, a lot of people have asked me, what are you going to do, and where are you going to go? Will you miss us? And, you know, I'll miss you, but when I leave each morning and watch those dogs of mine just about die, they don't do well with this. I haven't seen my horses in 3 weeks, and I just love the hills of Wyoming. That poem that Representative Edmonds read was, there's a lot of truth to that. It's so hard to be here when the things that we love, like these hills and, you know, the cows and the horses and the elk and the deer that I miss every day. That's why I'm going. The ranches that we have are so marvelous, and I know you're going to look after all of us. But I'll miss you all. But I had a great run here with the Speaker, the Majority Floor Leader, and Representative Landon and Representative McCombie, they used to call him up there. But There were some other, who else? Oh, and the rock of appropriations. We had a great run this class, and it's time for us to move on. And I'm going to remember y'all, but there's so much more. When I say, what are you going to do? And I'm saying, man, what won't I do? You know, now we can work and we can go back and keep businesses alive. But I'll miss y'all, and there'll be a lot more decorum now on the floor after I'm gone, which you know, I know I have some rough edges, and I kind of apologize for that. I've offended a few people, but I've sure laughed with a lot more of you, and I appreciate all the good times that you had, and thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I would think that those remarks would be much more sincere if he offered to take us all tarpon fishing next year. But I think we could clear a weekend in the general session. So please keep that in mind. Thank you, Representative Samuelson and Representative Jones and Slater and all of you. It really has been a wonderful experience having you here, and every individual and every personality adds texture and character to this body, and it changes every year, and those characters change every year too, because we don't all stay the same. Some of us do, like Representative Samuelson, but it's a wonderful body. It's a wonderful experience, and at this point, all of us are tired and reflecting on a difficult session in ways, and then the successes and the defeats. And I just want you all to know that I appreciate what you do and appreciate your work and know how difficult it is for all of us to be here, and that the sacrifices we make to do this. And it's a fun club to be a part of. And I hope that you all have a wonderful interim. And that if you have any problems, you call Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
I would now like to recognize the member from House District 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dirks, I'd like to say we saved the best for last, but it's all been tremendous.
I don't have any of these lyrics distributed right now, but if somebody wants them after they hear it, we could get some for you. This is a little bit more serious song than last year. It's about the bells of Balangiga, and about 8 to 10 years ago, those of you who were on the floor remember that we had a resolution about the bells of Balangiga, and also our national representatives have made certain statements on it. This is not intended to be a political statement. The real poet laureate of Wyoming has also written on this issue, and your wannabe legislative poet laureate is going to take a stab here. And while I take that stab, I've invited some friends to play with me, and it's just a treat to have these guys up here, and so we'll just see how this goes. This is called "Send Home the Bells of Balangiga." In the Philippine Isles, in eastern Sumar Visayas, lived a coastal town long called Balangiga. From the belfry of the chapel of St. Thomas, the bells would ring down all around all the land and its people. It was 1901 and war had begun with America. U.S. Company C
came in to secure the ports. First it was baseball and chess games and jousting in the autumn afternoons. But trends were in line to throw the good times off course. Two soldiers awake way too late, drinking too much tuba wine, accosted a young girl serving at the bar. Her brothers, hearing her cry, came and beat the soldiers down. But in their zeal, they took the fight too far. The U.S. commander ordered all the Ballingigan men to be quartered in tents and made to work like slaves. They broke into their houses and took their bolo knives and rice. And the people planned to revolt that very day. Send home the bells,
send home the bells
of Ballingiga. Send home the bells, send home the bells. The spoils of war could bring the nation healing. Send home the bells,
send home the bells
of Ballingiga. Before the sunrise broke the sky in late September, on a day to celebrate St. Thomas and the bells, in the church a group of hooded men sat poised and waiting, ready to charge when they heard the captain yell. He cried, "Attack, you loyal men of Ballingiga!" And they stormed from the chapel and down the streets in force. They caught company C off guard in line for breakfast, where they could only fight back with their kitchen knives and forks. As the sentry fired shots to repel the raging rebels, over 50 troops lay bleeding on the mess hall floor. The survivors staggered off, all dazed, confused, and wounded. As they escaped in fisher boats, they found down along the shore. The U.S. Marines and the 6th Brigade had orders to make Samara howling wilderness of hell. They ravaged the land and they slaughtered the island people. They burned down Ballingiga and they took the bells. Send home the bells,
send home the bells
of Ballingiga. Send home the bells,
send home the bells,
send home the bells. The spoils of war could bring the nation healing. Send home the bells,
send home the bells
of Ballingiga. Send home the bells,
send home the bells
of Ballingiga.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, members of the House. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give you an update, you will be getting several handouts that are a collection of our work during the session. So I'm hoping they will be pieces that you can use when you go back to your communities. Also, we're working on the website and putting together this collection of documentation so that it'll be easier for you to find the link and to retrieve that information. So if you find that there's something that you really would like to have produced and would like to work with me on it, please don't hesitate to email me, and I will work on that during the interim. There's a couple of reports that we won't get out at this time, but will at a later date. So I hope that helps you with the follow-up. Thank you all for a great session.
Members of the House, also on your desk, you'll find something about the 2008 American Legion Boys State and Girls State, American Legion Auxiliary Girls State Assistance. Should any of you choose to participate for a week or a day with Boys State and or Girls State, it would be greatly appreciated by them and a wonderful experience for yourselves. Captain Edwards.
If you could show up in Douglas for just 1 or 2 days of that week, it would be a great help. I mean, trying to manage those hyperactive teenagers is a big job. And so I'd appreciate all the help you can provide.
Members of the House, we're waiting for the Senate to adopt the concurrence to House Bill 155 and then some enrolled acts to be delivered to the House. That's really all we're waiting for. The Senate was going to take lunch. I think we've, basically talked them into the sensibility of sticking around and getting the job done and then leaving. So until such time, we stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. The House will come to order. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 312, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Aye 17, no 13. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We are at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The reading clerk will read the next enrolled act, being Senate Enrolled Act 62. House Enrolled Act 62.
House Enrolled Act number 62, being original House Bill 155, an act relating to health care services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 62, being original House Bill 155. I have so signed. The next enrolled act will be Senate Enrolled Act number 59.
Senate Enrolled Act number 59, being original Senate file number 9, an act relating to the Uniform Management of Public Employee Retirement System Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 59, being original Senate file number 9. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 60.
Senate Enrolled Act number 60, being original Senate file 21, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 60, being original Senate file number 21. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 61.
Senate Enrolled Act number 61, being original Senate file 27, an act relating to counties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 61, being original Senate file number 27. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 62.
Senate Enrolled Act number 62, being original Senate file number 65, an act relating to criminal procedure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 62, being original Senate file number 65. I have so signed. Members of the House, we will stand at ease for just a short while until the sound of the gavel. The House will come to order. A message from the Senate.
Message number last. Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has completed its business and is ready to adjourn. The Senate adopted the following motion. The Senate of the 59th Wyoming State Legislature budget session adjourn until a date and time which are determined jointly by the President of the Senate and by the Speaker of the House of Representatives for the purpose of calling the Senate and House back into session. That if no such time is established before December 31st, 2008, the Senate 59th Wyoming State Legislature budget session is adjourned sine die effective at 12 o'clock noon on that date, and the Legislative General Session 60th Wyoming State Legislature convene on the 13th day of January 2009 at the hour of 12 o'clock noon. That the Senate specifically concurs in any identical motion adopted by the House of Representatives, that if the House of Representatives fails to concur in the action of the Senate under paragraphs 1 through 3 of this motion by adopting an identical motion applicable to the House of Representatives, the Senate of the 59th Wyoming State Legislature budget session shall stand adjourned, sine die. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Committee announcements. We're looking for the majority floor leader to put us on a mission, but before he does that, I'd like to thank you all, members of the House, for your service the last 2 years. And my wife sitting up in the gallery, we both thank you for your kindnesses of yesterday. It was outstanding, and I'm in a little bit better mood to say so today, so thank you very much. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that bills currently pending before this body in the 59th Wyoming State Legislature 2008 budget session be indefinitely postponed.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I second the motion of the Majority Floor Leader.
You all have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. By your vote, the motion has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Senate be informed that the House of Representatives of the 59th Wyoming State Legislature 2008 budget session has completed its business and is ready to adjourn.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed say no. Motion carried. I am directing that the House Chief Clerk, Ms. Patty Benskin, informed the Senate that the House of Representatives 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature is ready to adjourn. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that a committee of two be appointed to inform the Governor that the House has completed its business and is ready to adjourn, and to escort His Excellency, the Governor, to the House chamber.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed say no. The motion is carried. Representative Stubson and Representative Hales, please inform the Governor that the House of Representatives has completed its business and is ready to adjourn, and escort His Excellency Governor Friedenthal to the House chamber. The House of Representatives will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. My friend, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
It is indeed a pleasure to do so.
Mr. Speaker, could we ask the LSO staff to step out from the offices here? Maybe somebody could go ask them to come out for a minute. Come on up to the front. It's hard to believe that you're bashful. This is a group of people that works very, very hard for us. They've worked many long hours and on weekends. You'll find most of them down here slaving away trying to get us ready for the next day. And I think that we should give them a good... big hand and applause and a thank you for all the hard work that they do for us.
The House will come to order. All rise, please.
Mr. Speaker, it is my pleasure to announce His Excellency, the Governor of Wyoming, Dave Friedenthal, and Mrs. Friedenthal.
Governor Friedenthal, Mrs. Friedenthal, welcome to the House of Representatives. Governor, welcome to the House. Would you like to address? We would like that.
Mr. Speaker, members, I've been listening downstairs, and it's clear to me that this group is in need of some adult supervision. You're having far too much time, or too much fun. Mr. Speaker, members of the House of Representatives for the state of Wyoming, I appreciate the opportunity to greet you and to bid you farewell. As you know, at this stage of the session, we all have... Representative Berger. A modest amount of decorum would be appreciated. As you know, I may have made a comment when Representative Berger was signing one of her bills, and I think she's afraid I'm going to bring it up again. You know, we reached this part of the session, and we look back, and there are bills that everybody's worked on, some of which made, some of which didn't, and we all have some degree of disappointment. There's some disappointments that I have as chief executive in terms of the CBM discharge bill, some health care bills, some property tax relief. But those disappointments are dwarfed by what I believe to be a substantial body of work accomplished during the last 20 legislative days. Our first mission when we gather here, pursuant to the Constitution, is to concentrate on the adoption of a budget. And we did that, fairly substantial budget, and one which was adopted largely premised on a presentation of a budget in which we included all of the funding items. And I think that's an important step. where we included all of the local government funding, all of the transportation funding, and all of the other categories, because it set us in context. If one wanted to add money to highways, they had to take it from somewhere. If you wanted to add money to local governments, you had to take it from somewhere. And so you were placed in the context that a budget process accounted for relative speed and dispatch with which the budget was adopted as much as anything. In addition to that, the Appropriations Committee, under the leadership of the chairman, spent a great deal of time educating themselves as to the requests that you as individual members would hear from agencies or interest groups to come and add money. And each of those then could be discussed not in the context of an individual bill, not in the context of an individual proposal, but in the context of an overall budget that we are prepared to live with for the next 2 years. The other thing that's important to realize is that we will return here next session. Most of us will return here next session to confront what will be additional available revenue. I report to you that the price of natural gas today at Opal is $8.96, which makes me an incredibly good governor and makes you incredibly good representatives of the state of Wyoming. The point being that as you go home and you think about what we confront in the next session, there are two things that are important. One is that there will be revenues, but revenues that now become focused on the question of how do we no longer make up for 20 years of no revenue, but how do we use these revenues to continue to advance us on a path of excellence and advancement for the citizens of the state. In prior years, a lot of the funding was really making up for things that we weren't able to do when we didn't have funding. We've established a base in this budget, and next session we will have the opportunity to take that base funding and to go from there to excellence. I also know that there are a number of lobbyists, and I've heard from them, who have talked about how incredibly dull this session has been, that there's nothing to do. I think part of that is simply because that means they don't have anything to bill their clients for. On the other hand, I think it also reflects the fact that what this session has been, it's been relatively quiet, but it has not been unproductive. And in fact, what this session really is that still waters run deep. If you look at the breadth of legislation that you considered, and the breadth of budget items that you considered, there is much that has been done for the state. Obviously, the initial attention will go to the efforts that had to do with carbon capture and sequestration. That seems to be the one that catches the national eye, in part because this is, in fact, the first body to substantively address the issue. Most of the bills that have been passed, I refer to them as having no effect during the life and being of a current politician in office. They talk about what they're going to do in 2020. What this legislature did is talk about what we're going to do now and how we're going to act to actually implement the efforts, and I commend you for that. But there are also other bills, all of which you saw come through, bills that I think both in terms of change of language and change of attitude afford a recognition of the human dignity of every citizen in the state. We took steps to understand the importance of education, which is fully funded. We took steps to understand the importance of property rights, the proper role of counties. I think it's been a pretty remarkable session. And remember, you did it all in 20 days. So one of the reasons the session was relatively quiet is when you have a lot of work to do, you don't have a lot of time to do anything else. And I watched people struggle over the bills, try to understand what it is you were voting on, and I commend all of you for those efforts. It is a session which will be reflected upon as time goes by, as a session in which we put the capstone on the efforts to build a budget framework that addressed the needs of the past and began to lay the framework for where we go in future years. I cannot be here without commenting upon Mr. Speaker.
Yes, you can.
You know, I'm trying to lend an air of dignity to this place, so which you guys are making incredibly difficult. I have enjoyed a positive relationship with the Speaker. positive relationship has been characterized by agreement on some issues, disagreement on others, but always a healthy ability to communicate and to understand that when we disagreed, we need not be disagreeable, nor does it mean that we shouldn't continue to work together. Because as public servants, we have an obligation, and that obligation to the people who elected us is that we have to put aside the sort of temporary disappointments or the you know, penchant for the speaker to be wrong, and for me to set that aside and understand that at the end of the day, we owe the citizens who elected us a collegial relationship in which we work to move things forward. I commend the speaker. He has done a marvelous job during his tenure as speaker to improve the well-being of the citizens of the state, the economy of the state, and to respect each of the individual members of this body. So, two other items. One is contained in the budget and some of the other legislation are some steps that I think are going to turn out to be very important with regard to the management of the state resources. We've talked about some of them in terms of the CO2, but the others are those things that we did with regard to sensitive species, wildlife, and game and fish. If you think about it, at least when I first came into office, we were confronted with a series of threatened and endangered, some listings with regard to species. We spent literally hundreds and thousands of dollars dealing with that, doing research and really trying to take care of a problem after, as we used to say, after the horse is out of the barn, we were trying to close the door. One of the things that you've done in this session is establish the proposition that we're going to be proactive with regard to looking at sensitive species going forward, so that in fact, in the context of a properly structured state regulatory framework, we are going to be able to participate and try to make sure that those decisions at the federal level are considered properly. And it is not a small thing for us to have done that. For ultimately, those decisions which affect the resources of the state ripple through and can undermine the very economy upon which we rely, an economy which allows us to fund education at phenomenal levels, do things like the Hathaway Scholarship, fund the Wildlife Trust Fund, put money in the Cultural Trust Fund, have a funding level for mental health and substance abuse, which is the envy of states all around us. It is a remarkable circumstance that we have, but it is not a circumstance that will be maintained without continued diligence. And I appreciate the work of the legislature in trying to make forward-thinking decisions about how to protect us as citizens and to protect us in our economy. The second issue is to simply thank you for all of the human courtesies that this body affords to myself and to my bride. Whether it's when you arrive at the house for the dinner, or when we see each other in the hall, or when we gather, frankly, to disagree, I appreciate the fact that we in Wyoming do that in a way that is both civil and constructive, recognizing that not all of us are going to always agree. And in fact, those of you who know Nancy and I know that she and I don't always agree. And in that case, I'm the one who's wrong. When you and I disagree, you're the ones who are wrong. But you know, we have something that they do not have in some other states, and they certainly do not have in the nation's capital. And that is the capacity to recognize that our obligation to the people who elected us and our obligation to those who will follow us includes maintaining a degree of civility, a degree of substance to our discussions, and a degree of rejection of the siren call from each of our political parties to bash the other side, not because of the substance, but because the opportunity exists. I appreciate what you do for the state. I appreciate the courtesies that you have shown to my wife and I. I am delighted that you have all shared this time with us. I'm also delighted that you're leaving. And please don't take offense by my next comment, which is, it won't bother me a lot if I don't see you guys for a while. God bless you.
Governor Friedenthal, Mrs. Friedenthal, on behalf of the members of the House of Representatives, I thank you for your closing remarks. Representative Stubson and Representative Hales, please escort His Excellency the Governor and Mrs. Friedenthal from the House chamber. We are now at that order of business, the reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Representative Millen.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of March 7, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved.
There being no objection, the report is adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the following. Number one, that the House of Representatives, 59th Wyoming State Legislature, be adjourned from the budget session until a date and time which are determined jointly by the Speaker of the House and by the President of the Senate for the purpose of calling the House and the Senate back into session. Number two, that if no such time is so established before December 31st, 2008, the House of Representatives, 59th Wyoming State Legislature, budget session is adjourned, sin die, effective at 12 o'clock noon on that date, and the Legislative General Session, 60th Wyoming Legislature, convene on the 13th day of January, 2009, at the hour of 12 o'clock noon. Number three, that the House of Representatives specifically concur in any identical motion adopted by the House, by the Senate. And number four, that if the Senate fails to concur in the action of the House of Representatives under paragraphs 1 through 3 of this motion, by adopting an identical motion applicable to the Senate, the House of Representatives of the 59th Wyoming State Legislature budget session is adjourned sin die.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Representative Dockstader.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the time that has been spent here preparing and laying out new laws and guidance and direction for the state of Wyoming. We pray that all the work that has been done here will be used in the best manner for the people whom we serve. Now as we travel home, we ask that thou will please bless us, that we'll travel to our families safely and find them there well and all is well at home. We ask that in the coming months, those of us who are involved in important and significant decisions, that will be guided and directed and make the decision that will be best for ourselves and our families. As we continue to prepare for a new legislative session with interim meetings and preparations, we pray that thou will guide and direct us, that the decisions we make will be best for those whom we serve. We stand grateful that we live in a free nation and that we live in a wonderful state where we can enjoy all that we have here in Wyoming. We are a blessed people, and we acknowledge thy hand in it. And now we close this session of the legislature and do so in gratitude and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The House is adjourned.